Almighty God, Heavenly Father, by your great goodness, we are permitted once again to enter your house and to worship in your holy temple. Lead us all, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Guide us in our worship this morning so that we grow in grace and truth to honor and praise you for your indescribable gift, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to our worship service today on this, the fifth Sunday of Lent. In the name of Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior, for whose sake, through faith in whom, we have become God's special people, in a lot of ways different from one another as individuals, but same in the things that really matter, in the things having to do with heaven and our Savior Jesus and our future home. We pray that the Spirit of God be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, because it was your will that your Son should bear the pains of the cross for us and thus remove from us the power of the adversary, help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive remission of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our scriptures today is drawn from the book of Numbers, an episode that we'll also be referring to in today's sermon. It's the story of the brass serpent lifted up on a pole by Moses in the Sinai Desert, which of course is a picture of what would happen on Good Friday when Jesus would be lifted up on the cross for us all. We read in Numbers 21, 4 through 9, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, and the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." And the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. So far, the first lesson. Let's join and read responsively portions from Psalm 38. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger,
or discipline me in your wrath.
For your arrows have pierced me,
and your hands have come down upon me.
My guilt has overwhelmed me, all my longings lie open before you, O Lord.
My sighing is not hidden from you.
I wait for you, O Lord.
You will answer, O Lord.
Come quickly to help me.
O Lord, my Savior.
Our second lesson is drawn from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We read there in chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let's confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our meditation today is found recorded in the book of John in the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So far our text. In Jesus' name, our blessed Savior, dear Christian friends. Some years ago, I remember spending long, many hours waiting in the airport terminal down in Dallas, Texas, where I used to serve, my flight having been delayed due to adverse weather conditions. And I remember sitting in the terminal, walking around, just trying to kill time. I remember thinking how interesting this is, just watching people coming and going, scurrying to catch their flights, deplaning from their planes with carry-ons in tow. What I found interesting was noting the differences between people, things that they would wear, how they would wear their hair, the language that they would be speaking, so many variations of people based on their culture, on the city or the country where they came from. I was thinking last week how the same is true with us Christian travelers on our way to our heavenly destination. We Christians are different in lots of ways. Whenever I watch a CLC mission video, people like over in Tanzania, the Maasai tribal people, or our brothers and sisters in Christ in Southeast India or Myanmar or Nepal, it's really brought home that, yeah, there's a lot of differences between Christians. And yet, amazingly, God has made us all the same in the things that count. In Christ our Savior, we all have the same faith, we have the same hope, we have the same Father, we have the same bright future. And we also share something in common in that we're different from the people of the world. When the Holy Spirit blessed us with faith, he lifted us out of the group of people, of those who constitute the mass of the unbelieving world, and he placed us into the group of those who share all those things in common, who are dear children of God. Today's message highlights this amazing Bible truth. We want to hear what Jesus says about his believers being different, a breed apart, all of us, from the children of the world. First of all, because we all look to God's uplifted Son, Jesus, as our Savior. Secondly, we all lean on God's unlimited love in our daily walk of life, and we also seek to live different from the people of the world according to the unveiled truth of God's word in the Bible. Our text records the familiar story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus and Jesus. These events actually took place not long after Jesus started his ministry. He had just performed his first miracle of changing water to wine at Cana. That's in the previous chapter of John, second chapter. And shortly after his rather shocking action of driving out the money changers from the temple courts with a whip that he made out of cords, along with the animals being bought and sold, and the scattering the coins on the ground and overturning their tables. As you can imagine, it did not take very long for word to get around about the remarkable prophet from Nazareth. He's doing these things that no ordinary rabbi would do or could do. When the news reached the ears of Nicodemus, he was eager to arrange an interview with him to find out more about Jesus. So he found out where the Lord was staying, and then he paid him a visit. "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God," he said, "for no one can perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." Now, all the details of this interview, this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, we don't have time to delve into today, like the Lord's words about the need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus' surprised reaction to Nicodemus' ignorance regarding these things, since he was supposed to be a teacher of God's people. But we do want to delve into the latter part of the conversation that they had together, what Jesus said regarding the brass serpent on a pole story from the book of Numbers, which we heard about in our Old Testament lesson. Well, the Israelites on their journey through the desert grew impatient and started grumbling against God and Moses, being really discontented with how the Lord was leading them and providing for them along the way. How God then sent those poisonous vipers into their camp as a chastisement, and many of them were bitten and died. All the people cried out in repentance, "Lord, we've sinned. Moses, we've sinned. Pray that God would take away these awful snakes." And then how Moses was instructed by the Lord to fashion a serpent out of bronze and put it up on a pole, and then tell the people simply to look at that bronze serpent, and whoever does that will live. We want to note how Jesus, during his visit with Nicodemus, clued him into what God, the beautiful truths of the gospel that God was picturing through that event from the distant past. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert," Jesus said, "so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Lord said to this rabbi, Nicodemus, "Just as a simple look at a metal replica of a snake brought deliverance to the snake-bitten, dying Israelites long ago, so the simple act of a sinner looking with eyes of faith to the uplifted Son of Man will bring even greater blessings, deliverance from the lethal sin venom which the old serpent Satan has injected into the bloodstream of humans, the gift of a relationship of friendship and peace with God that continues on unbroken, which not even physical death can change." This is indeed one of the key ways in which believers are a breed apart, that is different from all the unbelievers. Unbelievers travel life's road oblivious to the needs of their souls. They live on from day to day with kind of blinders on their eyes, blocking out of their consciousness the patently obvious that life on earth is temporary. The day is coming when all will face their God. And so the time for setting one's spiritual house in order, for making one's eternal future secure, is now. Of course, the one behind that all, in the hearts of unbelievers, that's Satan. He leads unbelievers to buy into his lie. It's as old as the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die. Oh, unbelievers know they're going to die physically, but they don't believe, or they just block it out of their consciousness, that there is such a thing as eternal death in hell. And so they feel there's no need then for a divinely sent Savior to come and to be lifted up for them on the cross. Truly, we believers are very different in this regard, are we not? We're blessed with that ability by the Holy Spirit to know our spiritual need and to look to Jesus as the one who supplies that need. And think about how amazing a gift of God that is, your faith. Just imagine for a moment the following two scenarios. You're trapped in a burning building. All the exits are blocked. The ceiling tiles are about to crash down upon you. You look out the window and there's someone down below who says, "You see that fireman over there on the corner? Just look at him and you'll be rescued." Or this scenario, you've been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. You pay a visit to the doctor to talk about the course of treatment that you will follow, and the nurse's assistant who's working with you in the waiting room says, "The doctor walks into the room, just look at him. You're going to be made well from your cancer." Crazy? Indeed. But it isn't crazy, and this is the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, that actually what we've done as Christians, by God's grace and the working of the Spirit, we know that we have salvation simply for a look at the Lamb of Calvary, eyes of faith, rescued from the fires of hell. And we have healing from the deadly sin contagion that had infected our souls. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever looks at him in faith," whoever believes, "will not perish, but have eternal life." Another way that we're a breed apart from the people of the ungodly world is that we lean on God's unlimited love as we walk life's road. You ever heard the story of the missionary called to serve a group of bush people out in the outback of Australia? Shared with them the message of Jesus, including the John 3:16 gospel gem of our text. One day a native walked into his hut and asked if the missionary would please translate for him the Gospel of John so that he could read it for himself and share it with his friends. First, the missionary was thinking, "Boy, that's going to be almost an impossible task, because you see, the dialect which the natives spoke, they did not have a word in their vocabulary for believe or trust." He's thinking about this conundrum, and then as he was doing so, he noticed how that man who had come into his hut was leaning against his desk, and it suddenly dawned on him, hey, they have a word in their dialect, in their vocabulary, for lean on, and I'm going to use that for the English word believe, because that's basically what believe or trust means. It means leaning on God for every good, especially for his gift of life everlasting in Christ. And that's what makes us believers a breed apart. Another example of that. Unlike unbelievers, we are able, because of the Holy Spirit's blessing us with faith, to lean on the promises that God has given us in His Word, including and especially the central teaching of His unlimited love for us in the Christ of Calvary. We know that that's a love unlike the shallow, sentimental, inherently selfish love of humans, which often fluctuates and wavers and in many cases peters out altogether. No, the love of God, John 3:16, God so loved, that's that Greek word agapao or agape, deep, unchanging, unconditional love. That's what moved our God to make the decision to save a whole world chocked full of rebellious, spiritually repugnant sinners like you and me. And that's the love we lean on, we rely on when we notice our daily imperfections, our failures to observe the Ten Commandments as we ought, all our fallings short of the glory of God. Yeah, we say with David, we confess humbly, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, O Lord, and done what is evil in your sight. Surely I was sinful at birth and from the time my mother conceived me. But we also lean, we rely upon His unlimited agape love. We declare with David, joyfully, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. And we know to our joy that the day will never arrive when the Lord in His love is not glad to do that for us for Jesus' sake. And finally, we Christians are a breed apart from the people of the world in that we seek to live according to God's unveiled truth as taught in the Holy Bible. It's another thought that Jesus laid upon the heart of Nicodemus on that night. He said to him, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has done has been done through God. So whereas the people of the world, the unbelieving world, reject the Christ of Calvary and the blessings that He came from heaven to bring us, they choose, sadly and foolishly, to remain in the control of the prince of darkness, and they insist on remaining in their sinful ways. With Christians, it's different. Knowing how our God has been so unbelievably kind to us, He's blotted out our sins forever. He's made us heirs of glory in heaven. We know His love is guiding us every step of life's way. His Word is directing us. Living by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us, we're different in this regard. We have that Spirit-given desire to live as the called-out ones. It's actually the word church in the Greek that I referred to before, the ecclesia, the church, the called-out ones of God for the praise of our Savior. It should be noted, too, that the difference between us and the people of the world, it's not that we, this side of heaven, can ever achieve perfection, whereas unbelievers can't. It's not that we can avoid temptations to sin 100% of the time, whereas unbelievers cannot. Now, we know what the Apostle James wrote. We all stumble in many ways. So that's not the difference. But the difference consists in this, that we look up with eyes of faith to Jesus and His cross for the cure for our sin sickness. We look to Jesus also for strength and for guidance to live as God's called out ones, His holy children, And we pray for the ability to become more and more like Christ in our conduct, attitudes, and words, seeking to follow the godly advice of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. For you were once darkness, part of that world, but no more. Now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So let us then pray in closing, as God's children made different and special, a holy people through Christ. May we thy precepts, Lord, fulfill and do on earth our Father's will, as angels do above. Still walk in Christ the living way with all thy children and obey the law of Christian love. So may we join thy name to bless, thy grace adore, thy power confess, from sin and strife to flee. One is our calling, one our name, the end of all our hopes, the same, a crown of life with thee. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Seated for the prayers this morning. We have three special petitions that we desire to offer in addition to the altar prayer. First, a prayer on behalf of Lisa Springler, who is scheduled for hip replacement surgery tomorrow, and also on behalf of Dolores Morical. She is a sister of Carol Rankin, and she was diagnosed recently with stomach cancer. She lives down in Phoenix. And then a prayer on behalf of Capper Newton, grandson of Pat Newton, who is being deployed for special operations military duty this coming Tuesday. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayer on behalf of your servant, Lisa Springler, as she undergoes hip replacement surgery. Bless her with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the surgeon and the medical team with ability and skill so that according to your will, the surgery may bring your servant to full restoration of her health and strength. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, who by your infinite wisdom, love, and might rules our lives, we pray that you would guide the destiny and bless the future of this elderly Christian, Dolores Morical, so that whatever may result from her illness may be according to your gracious will. We ask you to spare her pain and suffering, that her body, worn by years of toil, may find helpful rest. Above all, comfort her with a blessed assurance of your mercy, freely given to all who trust you, that covers a multitude of sins. Remind her of the suffering you bore for her and for us all, so that she could be an heir and we might all be heirs of heaven's glory. Strengthen her faith through the Holy Spirit so that it will triumph over all earthly sorrow and physical afflictions, and grant that it shall please you to summon her out of this life, that she may stand faultless at your throne. And merciful and protecting Father, we commend to your care Capper Newton, who will soon be deployed in the armed service of our country. We ask that you would bless and protect him with your almighty hand. Send your holy angels to guard him in his mission, so that you might counsel him with your wisdom and nurture him in his faith, lead him to make faithful use of your word as the lamp to his feet and light for his path. Cover the members of his family with your hand of peace. Fill them with confidence that your grace rests upon them, just as it rests upon Capper. May your promise to forgive all sins and grant eternal life through Christ, as well as to watch over your believers wherever they may be, fill his heart with joy and strengthen his faith in every challenge that awaits him. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord God, almighty and everlasting King of all creation and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayers. We thank you for the matchless gift of your Son, for the unsearchable wisdom which planned for our redemption through his death in our place, and for the promise of the eternal inheritance of heaven through Jesus' death. Grant that through your Son we may have your richest blessings, the forgiveness of our sins, deliverance from death and the power of the devil, and the assurance of everlasting life. Help us faithfully to honor Christ our Lord by faith and life, by word and deed. Help us to see clearly in him the eternal Godhead, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Inspire us to love and worship him in spirit and in truth. By your abounding grace, lift up your church, O God, that we may be saved from all weakness and failure and be empowered for service in your kingdom. Govern the nations of the earth so that people may live everywhere without fear and in the light of your saving gospel. Give your grace to our homes and schools, that our youth may be trained for usefulness in this life and for entrance into the life that is to come. Bless all who labor with mind or hand in providing the things we need for daily living, and give them the understanding that in all human toil, we are accountable to you. Help us to use our gifts as your stewards and for your glory. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, lifted up on the cross. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Summons to obey. May we